If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is stunning. The NSA violated privacy rules protecting the communications of Americans and others on domestic soil 2,776 times over a one-year period, according to an internal audit leaked by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, thank you, and made public by Washington Post Thursday night. Muslim Brotherhood has declared yesterday the Friday of Anger, that it was the Friday of Anger, and has called for millions of Egyptians to take to the streets after Friday's prayers. In a countermove, a loose liberal and leftist coalition, the National Salvation Front, has also called for protests. Jihadists in the Middle East and beyond are moving to capitalize on political crisis of Egypt, arguing that the crackdown on Muslim Brotherhood vindicates their long-espoused view that democracy is a dangerous proposition. Al-Qaeda's top leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, an Egyptian doctor, was dismissive of the prospect of democracy. On 2nd August, he said Egyptians would have been wiser to embrace a push for an Islamic State. Because, of course, to him, it's all bad if it's democracy. From the heartland of America, at the crossroads, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard through ConservativeNationRadio.org. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from the West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budget in the black. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show, and now, here's your host, Robert Garding. Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the show. What you have been hearing on conservative radio lately is just how bad this nation is now and how the liberal left is heading us down the road to ruin. Now, I'm here to say that is the truth, but what we are forgetting here is that this country, the way it was founded, is the most amazing country that this world has ever seen. You hear always about how one party or the next is either doing bad for this nation or they are terrorists for going against Obama. My question is, if Obama was Bush and he was doing the same thing, would we be supporting him now as we are supporting Obama? The answer is a simple no, we would not. Obama as a president is destroying the fabric of this nation and is doing his best to destroy the founding documents too. That being said, the left is going around to the lamestream media and telling them that we are the terrorists and the traitors to America because we are the ones that are opposing Obama and his policies, never mind the fact that they are the ones who are destroying this country, not us. Oh, to them, that has nothing to do with it, though. What it is all about to them is race and terrorism. If you don't believe me, then listen to Al Sharpton once in a while. He oozes racism. But I digress. They say that we oppose Obama because he is black, completely putting into the attic the fact that it was the Republican Party that tried to put a woman in the White House as vice president, and we all know just what the Democrats' media slur machine did to her. We were the party that put a minority into a cabinet position with Roberto Gonzalez, who the Democrats blackballed and got out of office. They tried the same thing with another presidential candidate who was a Republican, Herman Cain. Remember that smear campaign by the left? I know I do. We all know that what the Democrats and the media did to him. So why is it that the Republicans are always on the defense, working to pacify and placate? That is the question that has always bugged me. Your infidel. And I know it just drives me absolutely insane, people. We have to try to keep ourselves working the way we should, because if we don't, I'm afraid this nation really is in for a lot of trouble. A few weeks ago, we talked about Detroit and how it has gone bankrupt, and the blame lies with the liberal governing of the city since the early 70s. There have been many warning signs, but no one paid any attention to them, and the Republicans kept silent about things that they should have been screaming loudly about. And I'm not really sure exactly why in the devil they weren't. This, to me, was insane and not the way to handle things. But, of course, the Democrats were praising us for the way we were doing things. And we had to stop and look at this. We should have stopped to look at this, because if we didn't, we'd fall for the same trap again. If the Democrats are going to sit there and decide that we're doing the right thing, then that is an absolute sure sign that we're not doing the right thing, isn't it? But from the Hendricks County Flyer here in Indianapolis came this article titled "Suicide by Government" by Rich Lowry. He said, in case of the city of Detroit, the case of the city of Detroit isn't much of a murder mystery. Various suspects have been fingered in its demise: the global economy, the fall of the auto industry, the decline of manufacturing generally. But it's simpler than that. Detroit died of its own hand. The city undertook a controlled experiment in what happens if you are governed by the toxic combination of great society, big spenders, race hustlers, crooks, public spender unions, public sector unions, and ineffectual reformers. The city's downfall started long before anyone imagined that the big three would ever be anything but overwhelmingly dominant. Hardly anyone had heard of Toyota in 1967, when the riots ripped the city and a long crime wave began that made it totally unlivable. I remember back in 1967, a year before my dad and I went to look at new cars, Toyotas were not even in the mix. They were there, don't get me wrong, but most people like my dad didn't even look at anything but a Ford, Chevy, or a Mopar product. We ended up getting a 68 Ford Torino GT Fastback that ended up being my first car when my dad got his next car in 74. Back then, the big three were the main staple of this country, and when it came to cars, that was it. It was the way it should be. But change was on the way. And change was on the way mainly because we were not watching what was going on and why it was going on. The people in this nation really have to start looking at what is going on just to find out why we are having so much trouble with this country. I just don't understand why we are doing the things that we're doing. This nation is too great a nation to allow this kind of thing to happen. And that's just the way we have to look at this. It has to be looked at this way, because if we don't, we're going to fall right back into the same thing that we were in before. And that is not the way to go. That is not the way we need to do it, don't you think? This nation was founded on some high ideals that are being torn down by the government that we have mistakenly put in place. The Obama administration and his nation is so totally different from anything that America really should be standing for. And the bad part about this whole thing is that if we continue to watch what is going on without realizing what is going on. This nation is in a lot of trouble, folks. But the thing that we have to continue to remember is that this nation is also the most amazing country that the world has ever seen, or will ever see for that matter. Because once America fails, if America fails, there will never be another one. We are the last stand, last hope for mankind when it comes to a government that can be run by people instead of by governments that wish to be tyrannical leaders over the people. We are the only country in the world that has ever made it so the government are the employees of the people. Obama's trying to change that. He's trying, and all of the rest in Washington who follow Obama are trying to change that. They try to make us think that we are wrong by wanting to live in an America that was founded. To them, America, as it was founded, should be them in charge, us behind them, us doing everything that they want. It won't work that way, folks. It will not work that way. And that's the way it is. That's the way it's always got to be. Because if we continue this way, we are the last stand for mankind to be free in this world. Mark my words. Conservative Nation Media is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the Volunteer State, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guest to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Isn't that the truth? Wouldn't the fundamentalist Christians you know really want to vote for Jesus Christ for president? Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to vote for an American president who is a peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary guy who hung out with lepers and hookers and criminals, who never spoke English, was not an American citizen, a guy who was anti-wealth, anti-possessions, anti-self-defense, anti-greed, anti-death penalty, completely anti-public prayer, Matthew 6.5, he was, but never once anti-gay, never mentioned abortion, never mentioned premarital sex, never justified torture, never called the poor lazy, never asked a leper for copay, never fought for tax cuts for the wealthiest Nazarenes, and was long-haired, brown-skinned. It's in Revelation. I didn't write it. Brown-skinned, homeless, community organizing, pro-women's rights, Middle Eastern, outrageously liberal, former Jew. That was said by a man named John Fugelsang. But I have one question here, folks. These people don't believe in Christ. They don't believe that Christ exists in the first place. It's interesting to see those who know nothing of Christ's teachings try to spin them to fit their agenda, since they don't even believe he exists. So my question to this John Fugelsang is, why are we having this conversation in the first place? You don't believe in Christ. I saw this little blurb and I thought, this is something that we have to watch out for, because they will say something that if we go against, we're automatically godless heathens that don't believe in God and don't believe in the Bible and don't believe in this and don't believe in that. Don't believe that, folks. That is their way to beat us down, and we have allowed it for so many years now that they think they can still get away with it. It ain't going to happen anymore. At least I hope not, anyhow. We will be right back. You are listening to New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Radio, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. The call-in number is 718-305-7176.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Okay. I'm having a little bit of trouble here today because things are not working for me. I was goofing around just before I came online and lost all of my stuff, so I'm having to download it all again. The article that I started this show with continues on describing what happened to Detroit. According to Henry Payne of the Detroit News, the murder rate climbed from 13 per 100,000 in 1966 to 51 per 100,000 by 1976. It was the city's dysfunction that made it unappealing to the auto companies rather than the diminished state of the auto companies that made the city dysfunctional. The city's mayor for 20 years, Coleman Young, was an ethnically challenged black nationalist who hated the suburbs. Under Young, journalist Zev Chavitz writes, Detroit has, quote, all the trappings of a third world city, the showcase projects, an external enemy, and the cult of personality, unquote. And this was in the good old days of the 70s and the 80s. By this point, Detroit had already reached terminal velocity on its own. GM had nothing to do with the city council promising benefits to retirees that it couldn't possibly pay. Chrysler didn't disgracefully mismanage city agencies. Ford didn't disastrously degrade the city's human capital. Detroit is a city that has celebrated and feasted on the government for decades and yet is incapable of the most basic function of government. Crimes basically aren't solved. The clearance rate is 8.7%. The report of the city's emergency manager says this is driven by the police department's, quote, lack of a case management system, lack of accountability for detectives, unfavorable work rules imposed by collective bargaining agreements, and a high attrition rate at the investigative operations unit, unquote. This in a city that needs a first-rate police force. Its crime rate is 5 times the national average. Henry Payne notes that 80% of the city's children have grown up in fatherless families, and that of the 50% of black men who are high school dropouts, and more than 70% don't have a job, and 60% have done time. The city rewards anyone who can't escape its boundaries. More than 1 million people have since 1950, when it had at one point had 8 million residents. With stifling taxes and a futile attempt to keep up with spending, you know, something the liberal governments always do, it has the highest per capita tax burden in Michigan, despite the lowest per capita income of its residents. It can't even collect its taxes well. An Internal Revenue Service audit called its tax system catastrophic. None of this is the product of the creative destruction of capitalism of the Obama administration. It is the destructive destruction of corrupt statism. Despite globalization, urban America is alive and well outside of Detroit. Pittsburgh experienced similar economic dislocation when the steel industry collapsed, and I remember this happening, but it hasn't descended into urban dystopia. Cities in the South like Houston, Texas, Raleigh, North Carolina are economically vibrant and attractive to new residents, the way Detroit once was a very long time ago. The difference, people, is the fact that the Democrats run things into the ground. They love the idea of big government, which costs a lot of money. And all that money comes from us, the taxpayers. And when we can't spend anymore and we don't have any more money, they still want more. That's just the way they work. And they want more and more while there is less and less to take. The trouble is, folks, they get there more and more. And we have to suffer with the less and less. They live in a bubble that protects them from everything bad and keeps us in the lurch while going through bankruptcies and troubles that life gives us. But the ones in Washington, no such thing happens to them, though they always tell us how they are sacrificing for us. I don't know about you folks, but I am working to let them know that we do not believe them anymore. And I know there are a lot of people out there who are doing just that. They tell us one thing to get elected, and then they do just the opposite when we elect them, with no consequences to them at all. Harry Reid is a great example of this. He has been going against the Republicans since I can't remember when, and he has never been made to pay for all of the lies he is told to keep himself there. The thing that is going on now with the Tea Party and the new media that Obama and the left can't seem to control is that they are finally losing control of the system that has served them so well over the last 75 years, and even before that, for that matter. The Republicans have always wanted to stand for smaller governments, though they haven't really succeeded in that too well either. But when it comes to the two parties, only the Republicans have stayed with the fact that smaller government is the way to go. The GOP, on the other hand, has fallen lock, stock, and barrel into the more spending route. The new conservatives in Washington, like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, are working to stop that way of thinking, and they have to put up with the likes of Chris Matthews telling America that they are dangerous and traitors to this country. The scary part of that is that too many people believe that to be true. It is scary to say the least that so many do not know this country is in dire straits. They don't know what is really going on because they listen to the media that is in bed, lock, stock, and barrel with the Obama administration and the left in this country. They don't realize what is going on. They don't realize what is happening in this country. And they listen to people like Chris Matthews, who has absolutely not one brain cell working in his head. And they also listen to people like Piers Morgan, who shouldn't have a show in the first place. But there he sits. Every night he's supposed to be there, he's there. Talking to people who he knows will not go the way he wants to, but no matter what they say to him, they can't get through his head that he's wrong. Thankfully, not many people listen to people like Chris Matthews. He shouldn't even be on TV in the first place, the way I look at it. But the problem comes in from the people themselves because they keep re-electing these idiots. They keep re-electing people who should not be in office. They should not be working for the people because they don't know what the heck they're doing. They don't know which direction they're going. They make us think they do. And the sad part is, some of us believe them. And then I heard this poll this last week that said that Obama's rating, approval rating was at the lowest it's ever been. It's at 42%. That scares me. If they think that's low, that's close to 50%, people. After everything he has done to this nation over the past 4 years, almost half the people still support the idiot? Why is it that we can't stop and look at what's going on in this nation and realize that if we don't change what we are doing and change who we are electing, this nation isn't going to exist much longer. But we keep electing people like Obama. He should never have been elected the first time, let alone the second time. And the problem with somebody like Obama is the fact that once he's elected that second time, that gives him his mandate. He doesn't have to worry anymore. He can do whatever he darn well pleases. Because we elected him, not once, but twice. And to a narcissist like Obama, that means one thing. And one thing only. It means to him that he's doing the right thing. He's doing everything that he should be doing. And nobody is saying anything about it. And all of this rabble that's coming from the right that he hears, I'm sure, doesn't matter. Because he was elected again. He has the mandate to do what he is doing. And right now, like I said a little while ago, the GOP has fallen pretty much lock, stock, and barrel into the more spending route. They go with things like John McCain saying that we need to reach across the aisle, make friends with these guys. It seems to be lost on him and others like him. But the Democrats don't want us as friends. They never have wanted us as friends. They don't like us. They wish we weren't even around. And they show that to us every day. But people like John McCain just don't seem to realize that that's what's going on. We will be right back. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do. And you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backwash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be...
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 When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Okay. We are just having ourselves a blast here. This whole thing about a clown at a rodeo wearing an Obama mask in a routine and having the media force this down our throats that, in essence, Obama is a god. No, I got that wrong. Obama is nothing less than Muhammad, and he deserves more respect than having a rodeo clown making a mockery of the president is laughable. Obama is nothing more than a horrible president who shouldn't have been elected once, like I said before, let alone twice. This whole hubbub of everyone going nuts over this rodeo clown making like Obama in his routine is nothing more than just another stupid attempt at dumbing down this country and making things and the things that happen daily. Why make a fuss over this? Didn't we have the same kind of thing happen with George W. Bush? Didn't we have the same kind of thing happen with Ronald Reagan and Clinton and Carter? So why can't it happen with Obama? Here is the story that everyone is going nuts over. The Missouri State Fair officials have banned for life the rodeo clown who wore a President Obama mask while facing bulls at the event over the weekend. Excuse me. The clown in question engaged in an unconscionable stunt, and this is in quotes, and will never perform at the Show Me State venue again, the Missouri State Fair Commission said Monday in a statement. Fair officials are also reviewing their contract with the Missouri Rodeo Cowboy Association, the contractor responsible for hiring and overseeing bullring clowns. The performance was, quote, inappropriate and not in keeping with fair standards, unquote, said the statement. Well, this is asinine, people. Every president we've had as far back as I can remember, the media makes fun of. Not only the media, but people out in venues like rodeos and on the radio and TV especially. So this is nothing more than what normally happens all the time. And I just, it drives me nuts. But the fair did not reveal the clown's identity. During a bull riding contest on Sunday, the clown appeared wearing a rubber mask of the president with an upside down broomstick trailing from his backside as if it were a tail. The audience was asked over a public address system if it wanted to see Mr. Obama run down by a bull. Many people present clapped and cheered, according to one witness, Perry Beam. It was feeling like some kind of Klan rally, said Mr. Beam. Want your top political issues explained? There we go. It's nothing more than if we oppose Obama, we're racist. That's the only thing they can come up with, because they know he's not doing a good job. They know he's not doing what needs to be done for this country to save this country from the direction he's taken it in. But they don't want to go against Obama themselves. So they claim everything as racism. We get the same thing from Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. Anything that goes against Obama is because of race. If they heard this show, me talking against Obama is because of race. No, it's not. But to them, it is. I don't care what color he is. I don't care if he's purple. If he's not doing a good job, he's not a good president. And if he's black and not doing a good job, he's still not a good president. That's just the way things are, folks. And we have to start thinking about it this way, or we're not going to be able to do anything about it if we continue in the direction we are. We are having these problems here because of the main and simple fact that what is going on is stuff that we have to stop. And if we don't stop them, folks, we are in real trouble. And that pretty much says it all, really. If we continue to listen to what's going on here.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Okay. I was talking earlier about Detroit and the things that are going on there, and how it's nobody's, you know, the government has essentially run that city into the dirt. And we have other cities in this nation right now that are pretty much being run into the dirt too. And what we need to do is figure out all the people that we are not electing rightly and keep them out of the things that, you know, we keep electing them to office. And that's where we're having our problems, because we elect them to office and suddenly we start wondering, why are things getting so bad? They're getting so bad, folks, because we are allowing it to happen. We are allowing everything to go on the way that we have been doing it. And we're not doing anything to stop it. And to me, that is one of the things that is wrong with this nation right now. When it comes to the way this nation is, the way it was founded, if we just follow those precepts that were put into the Constitution, and follow the laws that we already have on the books, instead of trying to figure out what we have, what we don't have, and what we need, and what we don't need. And just follow the laws that are already there. This nation would be okay. But we're not doing that. We're allowing the left and the media to redefine things that we all know what the meanings of these things are, but we're allowing the left and the media to redefine all of this. And once the stuff has been redefined, then they can do whatever they want because it's been redefined to help them do what they want to do to this nation. And if we don't stop this, then we will get what we deserve, folks. And that's just the way it is. We have to start listening to our nation and start listening to what is going on. Because if we don't, this nation's in a lot of trouble. It already is in a lot of trouble. And we're doing our best to make sure it stays there. We have to work on doing what we need to do to make sure this nation stays safe. Kind of makes you think just when we are going to start fighting back against this anarchy that is against this nation and our ideals, doesn't it? The left can't stand the Second Amendment and the Americans' right to keep and bear arms. And now there's something else they're sure to hate. It's the Second Amendment Forum on Conservative Nation Media with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of firearms and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, starting September 5th. It's our new show, which will be starting the 5th of September. The leftist administration in D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just won't let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum coming in September to Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Here's another interesting story that the media, I am sure, will totally ignore. There has been a disturbing rush of asylum seekers from Mexico pouring across the border using very similar language in their claims. They say they have credible fear of drug cartel violence. This is likely a coordinated effort with organizers teaching people exactly what to say in order to successfully initiate the asylum process. Asylum requests from countries other than Mexico have been on the rise for the past 4 years, growing by almost 300%. But applicants from Mexico have been relatively uncommon until now. The current surge is so overwhelming that immigration and customs officials in San Diego have felt obliged to rent out hotel rooms to house the asylum seekers. Asylum claims are a convenient path to illegal immigration. Once claims are in the system, the asylum seekers are essentially free to disappear into the U.S. population, and a lot of them do, even as better than 90% of their claims are rejected, often due to use of inaccurate information on the application, such as phony addresses. The Senate's Gang of Eight immigration reforms would make that all worse by relaxing asylum regulations even further. One of the reforms involves lifting the deadline for asylum seekers to file visa applications, and the Gang of Eight bill provides plenty of other loopholes that can be exploited by organized attacks on the system. See, they really don't care about this nation and how it's run. They just care about what they can do to it. The sudden asylum crisis is a cautionary tale about not just immigration reform, but very loosely written, indifferently enforced body of regulations that rolls out of Washington. Government programs tend to assume far too much good faith from participants. On the contrary, legislators should be prepared for large-scale organized efforts to exploit and overwhelm every system they create. This was a little ditty that I got from the Daily Events, written by John Hayward, senior writer. This part of the American story is another that is scary and will probably happen just as John has laid it out here, because the media is not reporting it, and most people don't even realize this. But we will see. We will be right back after these messages. You are listening to New Conservative, New Wise Conservatism Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Radio, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. The call-in number is 718-305-7176.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
I was going to do another story here. I've got a phone call from somebody important here. The 302 area code. Hello, Duke.
Hi, Robert.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I was fine until I got in here and all my stuff was gone.
Okay, well, I'm in the studio with you at the moment, but it sounds like you've got things under control, and I soon have to join a conference call with a couple of the higher-ups here at conservativenationmedia.com. But you're doing fine so far. And, of course, as usual, I agree with everything you're saying. You and I are definitely kindred spirits, no questions.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. I always appreciate it when you're around.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Well, if anything else happens, you just do the best you can and wing it. I think you're doing fine.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay, pal.
I had an article that was from my blog. It was written by the other author I have there. His name is Tom. He writes one called "The Terrorists Are Winning," and this is a sobering take on what is going on here in America. It says, if you are unwilling to defend even your own lives, and you are like mice trying to negotiate with owls, you regard their ways as wrong, they regard you as dinner. And that was said by John Farnham. This weekend, embassies across the Middle East are closed due to a terrorist threat from Al-Qaeda, and that was last weekend. And wait a minute, didn't our illustrious president state that these terrorists were no longer relevant since he, via the military, eliminated Osama bin Laden and announced that Al-Qaeda was diminished? I guess not. Let's just take a trip down both memory lane and have a reality check, shall we? September 11, 2001, terrorism came to the United States in the most horrific way. Four planes loaded with passengers were flown into towers of the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a field in Pennsylvania. Thousands lost their lives and millions were affected across this nation and the world. Please note that the following statement does not minimize the losses that were suffered that day. Statistically, 9/11 is a subsequent and the subsequent attacks upon the United States citizens are insignificant as far as the loss of life versus the population of this country. However, the impacts upon the lives of citizenry as a result of these attacks are many. The obvious things that happened after this attack were the passage of the Patriot Act, carry-on item restrictions to air travel, the creation of two more governmental agencies, the TSA and DHS, and a worldwide manhunt for Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. The consequences suffered by the people of this country as a result of this terrorist attack can be summed up in the following. We, the citizens of the United States, became afraid of a band of thugs after they committed a crime of horrendous magnitude, turned to our government to keep us safe. They obliged, resulting in a loss of freedoms that the citizens would not ordinarily tolerate. We have become a nation of whiners, dependent upon a government only too willing to obtain even more control and authority over the population. The Patriot Act basically took away our presumption of innocence before proving guilt by stating that if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to fear, which in itself is a presumption of guilt. The NSA internal interception of phone calls, emails, and text messages is an offshoot of this legislation. The TSA, while prohibited from profiling, can instead pat down grandmothers and children and inflict all manners of nonsensical regulations and outrages upon travelers without cause or warrant. The DHS is essentially another federal police agency backed by the congressional authority for conducting warrantless arrests, even if a suspicion of terrorism is presumed. Drone strikes, aka assassinations, are now deemed legal against U.S. citizens if in foreign countries, if that person is suspected of terrorist activities and would be too difficult to arrest, all in the name of keeping us safe from the bad people of the world. But who is keeping us safe from our own government? I'll give you a hint. It isn't our elected officials. But let's get back to that later. So let's recap what we have so far. 19 terrorists took control of four planes, killed over 3,000 people in a spectacular display of horror. The result is that they influenced the 300 million citizens of that country to give up their freedoms in fear that they might be next. That's pretty effective in anyone's book, but there's more. Our government is not about to give up any of the power that they have legislated away from the citizens. No, if anything, certain factions want more power. Power over your health and your health care, your retirement, your pay scale, your taxes, your rights to defend yourself. in short, everything about you so that your control over the government is diminished to a point of nothingness. Stop and think of the legislation that our elected officials and clowns that make up Congress have passed that affects every aspect of your lives over the past decade, all in the name of making the citizenry safe and healthy. In order to ensure our security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the first galactic empire for safe and secure society, which I assure you will last for 10,000 years. That was a quote from the Supreme Chancellor Palpatine of Star Wars Episode 3. So this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause. Senator Padam Amidala, Star Wars Episode 3. I couldn't resist putting the above quotes in this post, but doesn't it ring true? Our government is promising everything to us if only we would give them a little more control over our lives. And given the age of whining and the hands stuck out, what's in it for me from the government low information voter, it's happening now. To protest, to close out this post, I leave you with these two thoughts. Thought one. The real terrorists these days are not some fanatical overseas religion-driven thugs. It's our own government. Thought two, the person that must take the responsibility from keeping us safe from the government is you, the citizen of the United States. You have a duty to be informed, to work hard for yourself without your hand out for others to fill, and to vote for the people who are not career politicians with agendas to line their pockets, but to vote for people who will advance this country for every person and not for the few. Stay well and informed, my friends. This is such a true statement to all of us Americans. We have gone so long without keeping informed as to what our government is doing that now we are all totally overwhelmed at what they are really doing and the scope to which they are doing this to us. Most of it is stuff that we have never really thought about, and yet our government has thought about it and has been doing it for decades and even longer. Doesn't that just scare you even just a little bit? It scares the crap out of me. This whole thing with Fast and Furious, we all thought it was over, but just this last week, more guns were found that were used against someone that came from this very same Fast and Furious, and yet the persons in charge of this fiasco are still in office, still immune to the effects of this, unlike if they had been Republicans. They would have been excoriated and taken out of office without a second thought, without even a whimper. And if they'd have been taken out of office, they'd have left. Not like the Democrats who lose elections and then call for recalls and find a whole bunch of votes in trunks of cars and keep doing it until they win again or until they finally win. The problem here is the media still thinks they have a handle on it all, and that we are the ones that are wrong. They think that the new media that we listen to and the shows like this one or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any of these other ones that are out there are all wrong. We can't know what is really going on in government because we're not there. We can't know what's going on in government because we haven't been paying attention. They don't realize we have been. This may be something new. We may be overwhelmed at what's going on. But here is the truth of the matter, my friends. Obama, Reid, Pelosi, and the left, and even a few who are supposed to be on the right, are pure D wrong. This nation deserves better, and unless we wake up and oust every one of them that does not want to follow the Constitution and the laws that are already on the books, then we deserve what we are going to get. And mark my word, dear folks, what we will get is so much worse than we have seen so far that it will make what has happened already seem like a walk in the park with your best and favorite person. I guarantee you this. We will be right back in a few short minutes with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show. Please stay tuned.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Okay. That was nice.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
From the heartland of America, at the crossroads comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard through conservativenationradio.org. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budgets in the black. What do you think about that? You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, and once again, here's your host, Robert Garding. On August 7th of 2013, there was a rather rowdy Tea Party meeting in Oakland, and there was a lady who actually was part of that Tea Party, and she gave... Each person there was allowed pretty much 1 minute to determine, you know, to give their ideas on what was going on in our nation. And this was pretty much a Tea Party thing about what is going on with the Plan Bay Area thing that they've got going on over there. And this Tea Party was all about that. And this lady used her 1 minute in a absolutely wonderful way. I'm trying to pass the time a little bit here because I had to download this again. I had it all downloaded earlier and these things all disappeared. And I have what she did. She essentially sang a song, and what happened there was everybody, it pretty much got pretty rowdy after she sang that song, which was really pretty cool. But the words of her song, if I can't get this thing to come up because it's still processing, were, "Oh, dutiful, great bureaucrat, he claims to speak for me, a lowly serf, hardly of worth. He knows what's best, you see, American utopia for those who know. The king, he'll crown all they in the beltway, and the rest get nothing. Ameritopia, will you all please just leave us be? And at that point when she said that, the crowd erupted, and her last line was really hard to hear in that. And her last line was, after she said, "Please leave us be, to live where we would like, you see, we call this liberty." Here is the audio on that.
Just a little prompt here. I looked up some facts. Oh, dutiful, great bureaucrat, he claims to speak for me. A lowly serf, hardly a word, he knows what best you see. American utopia, for those who know the king, he'll crown all day in the beltway, and the rest get nothing. Americopia, will you all please just leave us be?
Like I said, that last line in there was pretty much obliterated by the crowd. That last line after she says, "Please just leave us be. To live where we would like, you see, we call this liberty." This is Robert Garding on the Conservative Nation Media Network that is growing by leaps and bounds. And there's nothing Obama and the left can do about it. We're serious about conservatism and America. You can access us at conservativenationmedia.com and also conservativenationradio.org. And you can email me at robert@conservativenationradio.org. Welcome to the show on this fine day of August the 17th, 2013. The number to call in to the show is 718-305-7176. And now on with the second hour of the show. As Egypt descends into chaos, President Obama is facing increasing criticism that an incoherent policy towards the country, much like U.S. policy towards Syria, is putting U.S. money and influence on the line without a clear end game. The Obama administration claims to be staying neutral in the violent confrontation between the military-backed government and the Muslim Brotherhood supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi. More than 600 people have been killed so far across the country. America cannot determine the future of Egypt, Obama said Thursday in brief remarks from Martha's Vineyard, of course, where he's on vacation, as usual, as he appealed for calm and condemned the violence. Yet the administration is sending mixed signals here. While the president directly spoke out against the military-backed government on Thursday and canceled upcoming joint military exercises, the U.S. has refused to label Morsi's ouster as a coup. That means under U.S. law, the administration can continue to send $1.5 billion in annual aid to the Egyptian government, which is something that should not happen, should not be happening. Yet, there it is. The mixed signals raise concern that seem to be going on. And we cannot even stop to think about what's going on. It's simply breeding distrust on both sides. I had an audio from Ted Cruz when I get emails from him weekly. And weekly, he puts in there the thing called he calls the Freedom Minute. And it's really quite an interesting thing that he does there, because he is working to save this nation when nobody else seems to want to do this. And it's sad that we get a person who is really trying hard to save this nation like Ted Cruz is, and we have people calling him a terrorist and anti-American and someone who is not doing the right thing. I guess to this administration, the right thing is hurting America. The wrong thing is trying to save America. I don't understand this way of thinking. It has always driven me nuts. It has always made me feel like I should apologize for being right. And then I get thinking about it for a while, and I know that I'm not the one who needs to apologize. The ones that need to apologize are the people who are supposed to be in Washington, D.C. representing us. And they need to apologize to us because they think they are the bosses. They think all the money that they have pouring into them so they can do whatever the heck they darn well please, because they've got all the money that they can possibly think of, is theirs and theirs alone. They don't stop to think that without the people that they are so denigrating and putting down, all this money that they think they have would not be there. But people like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, understand this. Ted Cruz, in his Freedom Minute, was talking about defunding Obamacare. And here's what he said.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute. As the nation starts to implement Obamacare, more and more Americans are standing up against it. The latest to raise their voice is organized labor, including the Teamsters Union, led by James Hoffa. In a remarkable letter, three prominent unions said Obamacare will, quote, destroy the foundation of the 40-hour work week that is the backbone of the American middle class. That's not surprising, as Obamacare penalizes workers above 30 hours per week and companies above 50 full-time employees. On top of this, the immigration bill passed last month in the Senate compounds the problem by effectively imposing a $5,000 tax penalty on hiring U.S. citizens. That makes no sense. Americans deserve better. We must defund Obamacare now, and I'm leading the fight to do so. I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute.
In that audio, Ted Cruz is totally right. Texas Senator Ted Cruz has been among the most vocal Republican senators in pushing the latest strategy to defund Obamacare. Now is the best time, Cruz said in an email interview with the Daily Caller. Using this strategy, which is also favored by Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee and Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, lawmakers would refuse to vote for continuing resolution to keep funding the federal government unless President Obama's health care is defunded as part of the regulation. Under the current law, the government is funded until September 30th, which is coming up next month, meaning a continuing resolution needs to be passed to keep the government from shutting down. And what people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are saying is, fund the government. That's fine and dandy. Fund the government. But do not fund Obamacare. And I don't know how many times I have heard them say this. I don't know how many times I've heard them say this over and over and over again. And yet we will get people like Obama and John McCain and all of these liberal idiots in Washington saying all the Republican Party is trying to do is shut down the government. No, we're not. We have, if they don't even listen to what we're saying, all they hear is defund Obamacare. That means defund the government. No, it doesn't. Inside the Republican Party, many laws and lawmakers object to the strategy, saying it gives false hope because it simply won't work. Yeah, it will. The only thing that they are afraid of, folks, is the fact that we are having a talk about defunding things in our government that have been passed. And all of us know that no matter what, if it's a government program, it's going to be, it's almost like a it's almost like it has achieved eternal status once it becomes a government program. And the things that the politicians are trying to make us think here is that if we are trying to get rid of something that is already a government program, then we are trying to shut down government. No, we're just trying to make government a little smaller. But inside, like I said before, inside the Republican Party, many of the lawmakers object to the strategy, and I'm sure McCain is one of these. The Daily Caller attempted to have a high-profile Republican on both sides of the debate answer four of the same questions about the strategy, and while Cruz agreed to answer the questions, no Republican that the D.C. contacted on the other side of the issue would agree to do the same. Of course they wouldn't. Why should they? It goes against what they feel. It goes against what they want, doesn't it? And they know that they cannot, under any circumstance, justify the way that they feel. Kind of makes it a little difficult when you're kind of lying about things and you have to try and defend what you're doing. And what you're doing is wrong, so you have to try and defend this. How can you defend something that is wrong? It's a little hard to do. Through spokespeople like Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, Senator John McCain of Arizona, Wisconsin Representative Paul Ryan, and I mentioned here John McCain, every once in a while he'll fall in and do the right thing. But then he takes a whiff of something and off into the weeds he goes again. It amazes me. They even contacted former White House aide Karl Rove. All declined to participate. All have spoken out against the strategy. And here, John McCain, of course, spoke out against what was right. I get his weekly address, and talking about Ted Cruz here, and this is something he said about Obamacare and the bills that are attached to it. He says, it amazes me that Obama is so out of tune with everything and everyone, yet he is perceived as a person who only wants what is best for everyone by giving them what they are clamoring for, and Republicans like Ted Cruz are being crucified by the media as terrorists and un-Americanized bigots who do not have a clue as to what this country needs or what the people want. To him and those like him, and I'm talking about Obama now, they are the only ones who know these things, and to oppose them is to go against the way it is supposed to be. They are there to take care of us, not do our bidding. They are there as our bosses, not to have to deal with the people being the bosses. And the sad part here, folks, is a good part of the people believe just that too. Hopefully shows like this one and shows like the other shows that are on Conservative Nation Radio and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all of these other shows that are out there daily are getting the point across, hopefully. But we still have a long way to go. But oh my gosh, don't we have the ability to think for ourselves anymore? Or is that just one of the changes that our tyrannical leader said we could live for? Join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday right here on Conservative Nation Media for the Christopher Manti Show at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C. Plus, some heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. We have to remember that. America always wins. Conservative Nation Radio. And of course, I was speaking of the idiots in Washington. Of course, speaking of idiots, we cannot go 1 week without hearing from the idiot from CNN, Piers Morgan, spouting off about another subject that he has absolutely no knowledge of what he speaks about, this time more on the war of women, war on women anyway. And I really have problems with this man. He is one of the most idiotic people that I have ever heard. I don't understand how he manages to keep a job. He's always putting people on his show who he knows will disagree with him. If you remember, he's had Ted Nugent on there and all kinds of other people who pretty much disagree with his idiotic way of thinking. But from the blog, Girls Just Want to Have Guns, this one titled, Piers Morgan Continues to Wage War on Women. I don't want all American women armed with guns, is what he said. Now, my comment on this is because he knows he is not popular with the women, especially the ones who own guns, of course. He doesn't want them to have guns or be armed. Here's what the article says here, folks. CNN host Piers Morgan said he did not want to see all women in America armed with guns in a spirited debate on Piers Morgan Tonight with Breitbart News author A.W.R. Hawkins on Tuesday. Like I said, he's constantly putting people in there that are going to best him in every way, shape, and form. He doesn't seem to learn. Most people like Chris Matthews, if they're going to have a person on their show, they're going to make sure that that person agrees with them so they don't have to fight it out. But not Piers Morgan. He does everything he can to make sure he has the people on there who will disagree with him, yet he never seems to realize he's going to lose the battle. On this show, Hawkins told Morgan that there were less violent crimes in America than in England and Wales per 100,000 people because women in America can defend themselves regardless of an inequality in physical strength. Morgan said, quote, my problem is I don't want to see all women in America armed with guns. Morgan said he believed, quote, where there are guns, unquote, there is a, quote, much higher incidence of suicide and domestic violence with firearms. Earlier in the segment, Hawkins told Morgan that in England and Wales, for every 100,000 people, there are 775 violent crimes, including sexual assaults, which primarily are perpetrated on women. Hawkins said that that in America there are 383 violent crimes for every 100,000 people, which is pretty close to about half the number in England. The difference here is women can shoot back, Hawkins said. You chase them into an attic, they're going to shoot at you and to protect their own lives and the lives of their children. What Hawkins said. Hawkins was referring to a story that he told earlier in the segment about a woman in Georgia who, in the first week of January, shot an intruder 5 times when he chased her and her 2 children into their attic. Hawkins said the woman's husband urged her to shoot the intruder over the phone. And I love this, but Hawkins said, quote, I would like my wife to be armed were she in that position, unquote. He then asked Morgan, wouldn't you want your wife to be armed were she to be in that position? The host, of course, did not reply to that question because it would have shown him to be either a total hypocrite or totally stupid or both. Of course, I think that's true. But here's that part of that on the Piers Morgan Tonight Show.
Gun control is ultimately a war on women, Pierce. That's a true statement, because it makes women who are prone to attack more prone to attack and prone to more frequent attack. They have no way to defend themselves. Let's go across the pond to your country. You touched on it earlier. If I go across the pond and I look at England and Wales, for every 100,000 people, Pierce, for every 100,000, there are 775 violent crimes. That category includes sexual assault. Those are crimes against women. Now, if you look at those same numbers in America, for every 100,000, there are 383 violent crimes. That's less than 50% of what we see over across the pond, Pierce. What's the difference? The difference is here, women can shoot back. You chase them into an attic, they are going to shoot at you to protect their own lives and the lives of their children. And I'm just telling you, Pierce, my opinion, and I bet you share this opinion with me, my opinion is that those women should be able to arm themselves. They should be able to defend their lives and their bodies. Particularly look at Chicago. In 2010, there were 1,440 sexual assaults in 1 year. In 2011, there were 441 murders. Pierce, think about this, and I know this matters to you. 10% of those murders were women, 10% of those victims. I would prefer that those 44 women had guns to defend their lives. In 2012, it was 512 murders. 51 of those persons, approximately, were women. I would prefer that those women have guns to protect their lives. Pierce, gun control is a war on women, and it's a war we need to quit fighting.
Yeah, I would tell that to the families of the women who were killed at Sandy Hook.
Of course, after all of that and the facts that were handed him, Piers Morgan is too arrogant and stupid to see this logic, but what Hawkins should have quoted was Chicago. Chicago has gone one step farther by making it illegal for anyone but the police to own guns. So that means the criminal element there is free to reign, has free reign to do whatever they please until the popo gets there. And usually that is enough time for the criminal to do what they want and get away. No wonder there are so many homicides in Chicago last year. The people are vulnerable to the fact that the criminals know they are the only ones with guns out there, and the police will not arrive in time to stop what they want to do. We will be right back. Conservative Nation Radio is now fully optimized for smartphones such as the Android, iPhone, and others. So you can download our podcasts or listen to us wherever you are and whenever you want. The same great shows, same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. Conservative Nation Radio, where Americans where America always wins. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. The call-in number is 718-305-7176.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? This is Lef speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
A woman who won a spot on a seat in a city council in Iran has been disqualified, and I pretty much forgot to do something here. One of these days, I will get everything going on this darn show, and then we will know what we're doing, huh? Okay, back to the story. A woman who won a spot on a seat on the city council in Iran has been disqualified from serving because she is just too hot. Nina Sia Kali Moradi, a graduate student of architecture, recently received 10,000 votes in a city council elections in Qazvin, about 100 miles northwest of Tehran. She finished 14 in a very crowded field of 163 candidates, reports the Daily Mail. And the best is yet to come on this. The candidate earned enough votes in the June 14th election to become an alternative member of the council, which basically means that she would step in if someone on the council were to leave the position. Sure enough, the mayor gave up his position. However, Moradi, 27, was then disqualified after being elected in and everything. All the votes that were cast for her were nullified. An unnamed senior official in the Qazvin government said, and this is a quote, "We don't want catwalk models here," when he tried to explain the decision. The reason for the disqualification was quoted as being non-observance of Islamic codes, according to the International Campaign for Human Rights, a nonprofit group based in New York, which in essence means to be considered, if you are a woman, you have to be ugly. If you're cute or really good looking, then you have absolutely no hope of anything in the government. The Daily Mail explains that certain council members had criticized Moratti's campaign before she was elected. They say she was only elected because she was young and gorgeous. And I've seen a picture of her, and she was pretty cute. Even the picture that I saw had her wrapped up, so the only thing was showing was her face. But Moratti's campaign slogan was Young Ideas for a Young Future. Campaign posters showed her wearing the mandatory hijab with only her face showing, and that's the picture I saw. She also passed the battery of tests that Iran's Ayatollah-run theocratic government requires of all electoral candidates. The elections in Qazvin occurred the same day as Iran's presidential election. The country's president, Hassan Rouhani, has promised to improve the civil rights situation in the long-repressed country. He has specifically vowed to advance the rights of women. Doesn't seem like that's happening. Now, does it? But I digress here. We need to start watching not only what is happening here in America, but also elsewhere. Because with our president and the things that he is doing, he is making it so that whatever happens in other countries should happen here too. But Moratti told the local media that almost 10,000 people voted for her. Based on that, she should be the first alternate member of the city council. The fracas, though, may not be over, notes the News Network of Australia. At least on paper, it is illegal in Iran to disqualify a candidate who had previously been deemed fit for office, and she was, and lawfully placed on the ballot. It seems that this is a pretext in order to create an obstacle in order for this individual to not be able to join the Qazvin City Council, Mohammed Ali Yafard, a local legal scholar, told The Independent. Now, you think that America is the only one with racism and discrimination on the books? I hope you were listening to that story that I just read, because it shows blatant discrimination. Even though she passed the battery of tests given to her by the Ayatollah-run government, she was taken out of the position she rightfully won because she was too hot, too pretty. Doesn't that rattle your sabers just a little, folks? In another story that I found from the same site that I've been quoting from lately, from another site that I've been quoting from lately, the Black Sphere, comes this one written by a Jeannie DeAngelis. It says, the streets of Egypt run red with blood of innocent Coptic Christians, and Americans are in the process of being spied on by their own government. But up in the Tony enclave called Martha's Vineyard, Comcast CEO Brian Roberts, who endorsed but will never be subject to the Affordable Care Act, held a relaxed cocktail party for Barack and Michelle Obama. Brian's wife, self-described Philadelphia homemaker Eileen Kennedy Roberts, who contributed over $100,000 to Barack's 2012 campaign fund in three $35,800 increments, was probably also there. In addition to Shelley, Barry and Roberts, also joining in on the soiree was a host of left-wingers, none of whom will be subject to the train wreck called Obamacare either. Among these sipping cocktails with the president were rabid Obama supporter and newly nominated ambassador to Japan, Kaoran Kennedy Schlossberg, or Carolyn Kennedy, the president's fried shrimp luncheon partner and senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett, and the never-met-a-talking-point-I-didn't-like national security advisor leading domestic reconnoiter, Susan Rice. taken a break from running guns and tracking down racist Attorney General Eric Holder, Eric Fast and Furious Holder, fit the celebration into his busy schedule, as did Cash for Clunkers wizard Steve Rattner, 32 advisors and a member of the President's Economic Non-Recovery Advisory Board, Robert Wolf, and token civil rights activist Vernon Jordan. From the world of movies and entertainment came the 61-year-old movie mogul Harvey Weinstein and his 37-year-old British wife, high-end women's wear Marchesa co-founder, I love him for his looks, Georgina Chapman. Comedian Larry David was there and likely worked really hard to curb his enthusiasm. Among the chosen few were the hopelessly liberal, always political active, perpetual vineyard dwelling, and 70s songstress Carly Simon, as well as the producer of the upcoming movie Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Peter Chernin. Incredibly, the woman Barack Obama said happened to be by far the best-looking attorney general in the country, California Attorney General Kamala Harris, was also milling around with the cocktail partiers. The only thing worse for Michelle Obama than having Kamala Harris sitting across the room from her would be if the giggling Obama triplets, Eva Longoria, Scarlett Johansson, and Kerry Washington made an appearance. That means either Brian and Eileen didn't know about the president's sexist comments about Harris, or to the prior gathering, the Comcast CEO conferred with single mom Michelle Obama and received the First Lady's nod of approval. We are having problems here, folks. And it is really time to start working on getting this nation back on track.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher bring you Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Dependable is hardly enough to describe our two main men and their awesome show. Hey, it wouldn't be Conservative Nation Radio without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, now would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays, that's tomorrow, at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org, where America always wins.
Mm-hmm.
50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
This next article I found from ClashDaily.com, this one brings to mind the racism that Obama says he wants to get rid of, doesn't it? Did you hear about the 17-year-old Queens resident, Natasha Martinez, who was stabbed 11 times last week by a black male wearing a white hoodie? Yep, just a few days ago, this young lady was walking home from a job at Mickey D's. Right in front of her house, Natasha was jumped by a black dude in a white hoodie and suffered 11 stab wounds. She is in serious condition. Her state was so grave, the doctors at Jamaica Hospital had to remove her spleen and confiscate a vein from her leg and implant it into her arm. Back to my original question. Did you catch that story last week? You didn't? Yeah, I didn't think so. Now, don't feel bad if you didn't hear about it, because very few people heard about this attempted murder, because I'm guessing the knife wielder was a young black male dressed up like Obama's son in an angelic white hoodie. But hey, what the heck? What do I know? I'm a white devil. I will venture to guess, however, no guarantees, that if the culprit was a chunky white Hispanic male with a cracker surname and the victim was a skittle-eating black teen sporting a hoodie who smokes weed and says MF every other word on Twitter, you'd have heard about it, even if you lived in Osama's old cave in the remote mountains of Sukkistan. But of course you didn't hear this, and if you did, then you probably read the real news networks like I do instead of relying on ABC, NBC, CBS. Oh, yes, almost forgot, CNN and MSNBC. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Radio and the network, you know, that Obama would love to stop but can't. The call-in number is 718 305-7176. From JoeForAmerica.com comes this one that to me is really disturbing. Its title is equally disturbing. It was Obamacare provision, forced home inspections. This is a great article from our friends over at Freedom Outpost. The jackboots are literally going to be knocking at your door or kicking it down. According to an Obamacare provision, millions of Americans will be targeted. Health and Human Services website states that your family will be targeted if you fall under the high-risk categories below. Families where mom is not yet 21. Families where someone is a tobacco user. How many places do you know that are like that one? Families where children have low student achievement, developmental delays, or disabilities. Families with individuals who are serving or formerly served in the armed forces, including such families that have members of the armed forces who have had multiple deployments outside the United States. There is no reference to Medicaid being determinant for a family to be eligible. In 2011, the HHS announced $224 million will be given to support evidence-based home visiting programs to help parents and children. Individuals from the state will implement these leveraging strategies to enhance program sustainability. Constitutional attorney and author Kent Masterson Brown states, quote, "This is not a voluntary program. The eligible entity receiving the grant for performing the home visits is to identify the individuals to be visited and intervene so as to meet the improvement benchmarks. A homeschooling family, for instance, may be subject to intervention in school readiness and social-emotional development indicators. A farm family may be subject to intervention in order to prevent child injuries. The sky is the limit." Although the Obama administration would claim the provision applies only to Medicaid families, the new statute, by its own definition, has no such limitation. Intervention may be with any family for any reason. It may also result in the child or children being required to go to certain schools or taking certain medications, vaccines, and the such. Part of the program will require massive data collecting of private information, including all sources. And this whole thing, folks, is something that we are seeing more and more of all the time. Don't you think it's something that we should be trying to get rid of in our government instead of just letting it allow to fester and continue the way it is? I myself think that we should be getting rid of this stuff, including getting rid of the people who are trying to push this kind of thing on us. We are in trouble. We have got a great nation where the people who are running it are flushing the toilet as they're throwing us into it. We have to start realizing, folks, that the government doesn't know what they are doing because they are trying to insert themselves into our lives. If they had their way, they would be inside this building where I'm at right now, dictating what and what I cannot speak to you about. And there'd be nothing I could say about it if that happened. Why do we keep allowing this, and why do we keep allowing these people to constantly be reelected? Why do we keep reelecting them? To me, this is a very valid question. Why are we reelecting these people all the time? They shouldn't be in office. They shouldn't be elected. They shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be paying their salaries, yet we are. And I don't really understand why. except that the people who are voting for these people are lazy, don't want to do the things that they need to do to be self-reliant. They want to be under the thumb of the government. They want the government to take care of them. They want the government to pay for their food. They want the government to do things for them. To heck with going out and finding a job. That's too much work. And it is a well-known fact that a country like America, once you hit that 50% mark of people who want to take from the government instead of working, that's the beginning of the end, folks. And we've been hovering around that 50% mark for a long time now. We have to realize that all the problems we have in America today are because of these policies that are being pushed on us now by the people that we are electing. How much more of this do we have to keep taking before we realize what is going on? We now have a show every day of the week with a new one starting on September 5th on Thursday. So our lineup now is Sunday nights. We have Soldiers of Patriotism with Bing Fisher and Michael Smith. On Monday is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Tuesday nights we have Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Wednesday is Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. On Thursday, starting on September 5th, will be our new show called The Second Amendment Forum with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. Make sure you check him out and listen to this upcoming great show. On Friday is the Chris Manti Show with Chris Manti, and of course yours truly on Saturday. This is Robert the Infidel guarding with this edition of the new Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on Conservative Nation Radio through Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, God bless you all and stay safe. Good day. you all.